Blog Talk Radio.
I really believe that
we have a misunderstanding of this particular verse, of this scripture. It's not talking about bringing us back somewhere, but it's actually having to do with the scattering of Israel, the scattering of us in the wilderness amongst the nations. So this is my understanding after going through this morning. I will lay it out for you as he has shown it to me, and that, you know, we are currently in the wilderness of the people. And so we're going to look at this word wilderness on this morning, and we're going to define it. We're going to look at some examples in the scriptures and then apply it to the prophecy. Because, you know, the Most High speaks to us in parables. He speaks to us through idioms. And so, you know, I'm going to give you an example of what an idiom is, and so that we can understand what's going on in the verse and get a proper understanding of what the Most High is saying to us. Again, as he has shown me on this morning, because, you know, I've always thought, you know, the wilderness of the people was, you know, maybe it could be Sinai, you know, the Sinai desert, taking us back to Sinai and then back into Israel. But when I read these verses this morning, they came through in a different way. So we're going to get into this morning, and, you know, you can say what the Most High has shown you in it. You know, if you are hearing something else or reading something else, and you're getting something else out of it. But when I went through it on this morning, I was like, wow, we are already in the wilderness of the people. And so I'm going to delve into that. So I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. If you are in South America, if you are in the continent of Africa, if you are in the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, any of the communist bloc countries that we are broadcasting into in the United States, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we say happy Sabbath or Shabbat Shalom to you all on this morning. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith and do our foundations of discipleship. As this is talking about how to walk, you know, and properly interpret the scriptures, and how to walk with Messiah and what he's looking for today and what he has actually done with Israel. And this message today really has to do more so with Israel. And so for my Hebrew brothers and sisters that are listening, I want you to pay particular attention because you know, we are looking to be delivered out of this captivity, and a lot of us are being, you know, waiting to be taken into the wilderness. But I think the Most High has given me a revelation on these scriptures this morning, and so we will look, you know, delve into it and see what thus saith Yah Elohim as he has shown it unto me this morning. Let me have the ladies to cover your heads, men uncover your heads, and let us go before the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah according to 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you on today, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We bow down and we worship you on this morning, Father. We give you our adoration in the praise of our lips, in the praise of our hands, Father. And we just glorify you and worship you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We adore thee. Hallelujah. We adore thee, O Yah. Hallelujah. You are wonderful, and you are kind, and you are loving, and you are every good platitude, Father, that we could possibly place upon anybody that is good, Father. Words are not enough to describe you, Father. Hallelujah. We do the best that we can. Hallelujah. But we just want to let you know that we love you on this morning, and we truly appreciate all that you do for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We just glorify you on this morning, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. But, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we will not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplication and our prayers. Turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people. Deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into. Gather us again, once again, to yourself, Father. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and that they would come and that they would obey and keep your commandments. Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you will smile upon this work, that it will be you that will guide this study. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of, we're just going to do on this morning, we're going to do Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. Thank you.
Your name is strange.
we're going to start this precept off, I want to take us to our reference verse. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Ezekiel chapter 20. But we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 20 right now and get verse 35. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 35, our reference verse for this morning. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. And so we want to talk about on this morning the wilderness of the people. And when we hear this, we got to know that this is talking about a special place. So we're going to look at this word wilderness first. And then we're going to talk about how the Most High is using this word. And we're going to look at some places in the scripture so that when we define this word wilderness, that we can apply it in the scriptures the way the Most High is using it. Okay. So wilderness comes from H, from the Strong's, H1696. And its definition is in the sense of driving, like a pasture, where you, you know, where you take your sheep to. Okay, that would be a wilderness, an open field, where cattle are driven. By implication, a desert. Now, when we think of desert, we don't think of a desert someplace that we would take our cattle to, because, you know, it would used to be dry and no water and things like that. But that word wilderness is also used in that sense. So a desert or an open field, an isolated place, some place that hasn't been cultivated by man. So this would be a wild place, wilderness, wild. A field that hasn't been tilled and hasn't been, you know, weeded or anything like that would be considered wilderness in the scriptures. A mountain pasture all off by itself. You go up in the mountains, you come out of the woods, and you come into this, what we would call a meadow, like a grassland. That could also be a wilderness. So when we're looking at this word, the way the Most High has put it in my heart and the way he's using it in the scriptures, this is a wild, tamed place. Okay? It's isolated. It's not, you know, it's not around. When we look in the scriptures, when he says he brought them into the wilderness of Sinai, there was no cities around there. There was no, you know, cultivated farmland. There was no culture there, no civilization there. So we're going to read a couple of verses here in a minute. Well, we're going to read them first, and then I want to come back to this verse in Ezekiel chapter 20. Because we're talking about the wilderness of the people. Okay? And so when it says the wilderness of something, it's identifying, you know, that this is an isolated or a wild place. But then it might use it as in the wilderness of the people as an idiom. And as I said, I will define what an idiom is in just a second. So let us go to the book of Joel, chapter 1. The book of Joel, chapter 1. And we're going to get verses 19 and 20. We just want to look at this word. We're going to look at this word wilderness in the scriptures. And then we're going to come back to Ezekiel. And we're going to be reading mostly out of Ezekiel because the Most High sets it up. But when we get here, we have to understand, you know, where he's coming from and what he's doing in the scriptures. So Joel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Oh, yeah. To thee will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned out all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. He's talking about a wild field here. Like, so, you know, when we look on TV and we see the forest burning, but in this case, this would be a field where animals like the deer and the antelope, the mules, that they would go and graze at, the wild animals. That, you know, this would be an open field where they would graze that is not cultivated. Okay, so when we're reading this, when he's saying the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, this is a wild field, okay? And it could, you know, be filled with flowers. It could be, you know, a meadow with grassland in it. But in this case, it's a wild field, okay? And that's wilderness. It's not tilled. It's not cultivated by man. And, you know, when we go to, let's go to Isaiah chapter 35 and 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 35 and 1. And I also want to give you the word that is being used here for wilderness out of the Hebrew. Okay, and hold on a minute, where I put that definition. I gave you the definition, but the Hebrew word, let me pull up my Bible here, for that, Midbar, M-I-D-B-A-R. Midbar, and it's translated into the English as wilderness, okay? But it's like a pasture, it's like a field, an open meadow, a desert. It's an open, isolated place, in other words, okay? And depending upon the context within the scriptures, then it could be someplace that, you know, there may be water there, or there may be no water there. It could be like a desert. But it's really just standing for an isolated, wild place, okay? An isolated, wild place, uncultivated. And we're going to look at this. Thank you, Most High, for bringing something into my mind just now. Okay, so that word Midbar in the Hebrew translates into a desert, an open meadow, an isolated place, a wild place, uncultivated. So when we read these, then we have an understanding of where he's saying that they're coming into. And then when we come back into Ezekiel, as we read this, you're going to get the theme of what the Most High is saying. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 35 and verse 1. Because Israel is looking, today Israel is waiting to be taken into the wilderness. They're waiting for Messiah to gather us into the wilderness. And the only wilderness that he says that he will gather us into is the wilderness of sin and the wilderness of the people. Okay. And so we want to look at the wilderness of the people on this morning. Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the solitary place. Solitary means isolated, by itself. Shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice. Another name for wilderness, desert, and or it's a type of wilderness, the desert. And blossom as the rose. So the Most High is saying, I'm going to take this isolated place, and I'm going to cause it, if it's a desert, I'm going to cause it to rejoice because I'm going to bring it to life. I'm going to cause the plants there to blossom like the rose. I'm going to cause water to run there, and it's going to come to life. So we see this in, let's say, if you watch nature series, and you watch the African plain, the plains, the wild fields in Africa, where the animals, the antelope and the wildebeest, all roam, and the lions and the tigers, not lions in Africa, but the cheetah and the lions and the leopards, all these wild animals that, you know, they hunt these grazing animals. And the savannas where the animals are grazing would be a type of wilderness, untouched by man. You know, uncultivated by man, and we would call it wilderness. Okay, so we got to, you know, I'm trying to paint this picture here, and this is what the Most High is saying when he's speaking of wilderness, that this is an untamed place, and depending upon what type of wilderness it is, you know, it could be a grassland, It could be a desert. So I hope we're catching this, because then we're going to look at it in regards to the wilderness of the people. Go to Genesis chapter 36. The book of Genesis chapter 36. I'm just getting a few places so we can see how he's using, how this word is used in the scriptures. And it's Midbar. Okay. Genesis chapter 36 and verse 34. The book of Genesis chapter 36 and verse 24. And these are the children of Zibeon, both Ahah and Anah. This was that Anah that found the mules in the wilderness. Now, you know, there's such thing as wild, what, mules. That they're like wild horses. As he fed the asses. Now, a mule is a wild animal, and it's a mixture between a horse and a donkey. And the asses are those that are been domesticated. A mule that's been domesticated. Okay, he's no longer wild. As he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. Okay, so again, he's in the wilderness. He runs across some wild donkey, and they're called mules. Okay, as he was feeding the ones that he had already caught and domesticated. But he's in a wild place. He's in an open field. It's isolated. They don't, you know, it's not a place that they actually keep as, you know, a tilled land or a grassland that they have fenced in, and they're controlling it. That's what this wilderness means. So you could just, if you know, really, if you just think of wild, if you know that whatever that word wild brings into your mind, you will more than likely have the right definition, the right frame of mind. You're out in the wild somewhere, and it could be an open pasture, it could be a desert area, it could be a rocky area, but it is an isolated place. Okay, and so the Most High just calls it wilderness. Okay, but there's different types of wilderness, and this is what we want to understand. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. The book of Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. Again, now we're going to get a wilderness that is defined by a name. And in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. In other words, this was a wild place where there was no city. There was no, you know, there were no wells. There was no plants that were planted for food like wheat or corn. It is a wild place, the wilderness of Sinai. And it's the wilderness, the wild area that's around Mount Sinai. Okay, and so in the wilderness such as this one around Sinai, we know that on their travel that, you know, they didn't have water. And the Most High had to provide them water. They didn't have meat. Like, you know, they weren't eating their cattle, the cattle that they brought out with them. So the Most High flew in quail. They didn't have, they weren't growing wheat so that they could make bread. So the Most High provided them manna for 40 years and quails for 40 years and the water for 40 years around Sinai where he gave them the law. Okay, but they are in this wild place around Mount Sinai, this isolated wild place around Mount Sinai. Okay, let's look at, again, and this word in the Hebrew is Midbar. Let's look at Exodus chapter 15, the book of Exodus chapter 15. And we're going to be getting verse 22, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. Exodus 15 and verse 22, from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. So they're in the wilderness, this wild place, this isolated place. You know, there's no, you know, nobody's dug a well there. Nobody's planted wheat or corn or rye or anything like that. It's just wild. And this place is called Shur. So when we are going back through and we're going to be reading about the wilderness of the people, I want you to understand that the definition that we want to put to this is a wild place, okay, an uncultured place, an uncivilized place, okay. Now, I want to take us and I want to give us the definition of an idiom, okay, because when we're reading this, the Most High, the book of Ezekiel is full of parables, okay, and they're written in the form of idioms. So, what is an idiom? An idiom is a group of words in a fixed order that has a particular meaning that is different from the meaning of each word on its own. So you will make a phrase, but you know the total of the words in the phrase means something else. So as an example, you have bitten off more than you can chew. Really means that it's an idiom that means you have tried to do something which is too difficult for you. It has a different meaning than what the words themselves actually are saying. And so we have to understand when he says, I'm going to bring you into the wilderness of the people, that is, it is a type of idiom. He's saying one thing, but the words don't mean what you're reading. They have a different meaning, okay? So the wilderness of the people, too, with the scattering of Israel amongst the nations, that Israel would be isolated amongst the nations. You're among people, but you're not getting what you need from the people. You can survive, but you are spiritually depraved, spiritually deprived when he scatters us amongst the people. The people are a type of a desert where the Most High was not. They lacked the Most High. They were without Elohim in the world. And he scattered us amongst them. They had no knowledge of him. And because Israel wanted to be like the people, like the countries that were around them, the Most High equated the nations as a wilderness. Being in our own land and being up under our own law, I'm going to scatter you into the wildness, into these nations that don't have the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High. And there will I plead with you. Let me see what you're going to do. When you have all this wild stuff to eat from, you don't have a steady diet of grass or hay. If you were a herding animal, you know, this, what you're going to be eating is not cultivated. It wasn't grown for your consumption. So you're out in this wild field and you are eating what the nations have to offer. They are this wilderness. They are this wild place. Okay? So let's go back to Ezekiel. And before we start reading in Ezekiel, I want to give you another definition example of an idiom. I gave you one that you've bitten off more than you can chew, meaning that, you know, you are trying to do something which is too difficult for you, more than you can handle. Okay. Another one is if someone like a politician is in the wilderness. So you imagine that you're a politician, and what you need is for people to support you. And the support of the people is what gives you power, it gives you authority, it gives you a voice. So that when you say, well, I'm going to go work on this matter because you have X amount of people behind you, then you have power. Like an influencer on the internet today. If they have so many people following them because, you know, they believe in their opinions and they can get people to buy something because they say buy it. Okay. But if they are in the wilderness, then they no longer have a position of authority or power or fame. So their popularity has what dried up. When they were popular, it'd be like they were in the city. And people knew them, and people supported them. But if they are in the wilderness, by example, then they have no more popularity, have no more authority, have no more fame, no more success. They're not in the news anymore. They're not a public face. I hope these examples are making sense. So if you have a party that's in the wilderness, a political party that's in the wilderness, then you can have somebody, a leader, come up in that party and make them what, popular, make people want to believe in what their message is, okay? So they have popularity. With that popularity, they get fame, they get authority, they get influence, okay? So when he puts us in the wilderness of the people, then we are in a place that is wild, and we have no authority. We become the tail and not the head. We have no power. We are at their whims, and we're eating whatever they are providing, their doctrines. We're going by their laws. So I hope we can understand where I'm going with this. So now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20. The book of Ezekiel chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 1. Isaiah is telling, you know, Ezekiel to say to the people. Ezekiel chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, that a certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of Yah and sat before me. So the elders of Israel are coming to Hezekiah the prophet, and they want a word from the Most High. They want to hear from the Most High. We need to know what thus saith Yah Elohim. So they're coming to Ezekiel. Then came the word of Yah unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith Yah Elohim, are you come to inquire of me? Are you come to ask me something? Just like he says to them in Isaiah chapter 58, are you coming to inquire of me as though you have a right to? See, people think that no matter what type of life they're leading, that they have a right to go in prayer before the Most High. But you really don't. If you're not repenting, if you're walking unrighteous before Him, really the only prayer that you got that have a chance of getting through is a prayer of repentance. Other than that, He's not trying to hear your prayer. Are you coming to inquire of me? As I live, saith Yah Elohim, I will not be inquired of by you. Now he's going to tell them why. Verse 4. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Look at them and judge them, innocent or guilty. Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. Let them know the terrible things they've been doing. Judge them. Tell them their sins. Tell them their abominations. And they want to come and inquire of me? They want to ask me something? And they've been disobedient? And say unto them, thus saith Yah Elohim, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yah, your Elohim. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied, I had looked at for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, cast you away every man the abomination of his eyes. Put that stuff away. Whatever you've been worshiping, whatever you've been bowing down to, whatever you've been giving adoration to, whatever you've been saying is leading your life, that's influencing you, put it away. And defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. So, as I told you, our people, when they came out of Egypt, were very much Egyptian. When they came into the land, when Jacob brought them into the land, Joseph had already been in the land. He had learned the way of the Egyptian. He still served the Most High, and he had favor with the Most High. But when the people came and that generation died out, and they were there for about 215 years, you had a lot of people that were born in the land, and all they knew was Egypt, and they knew the gods of Egypt, and they were worshiping the gods of Egypt. So when the Most High brought them out of Egypt, he had to tell them, hey, you got to stop worshiping those gods. Hold on. For some reason, my car alarm is going off. Let me play a song. I'll be right back. I got to go get my keys so I can turn my alarm off. Give me 1 second here. Somebody already got it for me.
It is always good to stand before.
All right, somebody already got it for me. Keep going. All right, so he brings them out of Egypt, and they have been worshiping the gods of Egypt. They were basically Egyptian, okay? They were the Hebrew people, but they had been born and raised in the land of Egypt, and they had become very much Egyptian. Just like anybody, you know, born in America, you grow up and you learn your traditions of the land that you're in, and you pledge allegiance to that land. You know, so you're celebrating the 4th of July. You know, if you're growing up in a Christian, quote-unquote Christian church, then you're celebrating Christmas and Easter, Halloween, New Year, all these things. So they are very much Egyptian, and they're following the Egyptian gods, okay? So they're coming, the elders are coming, they are out of Egypt, but they still had a Egyptian mentality, and they are worshiping these false gods. And he says, when I brought you out, and I told you to put away every man the abomination of his eyes, and to defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am Yah, your Elohim. But they rebelled against me, disobeyed, and would not listen to me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, holding on to Egypt and holding on to the gods of Egypt. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. So he wanted to judge Israel because they were busy still holding on to their idols. But I wrought But I did it for my sake, my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them. The heathen know that I was, that this was my people. I didn't destroy my people when my people were disobedient for my name's sake. And so the heathen couldn't say, hey, you destroyed your own people. So let me read that verse again. But I worked it for my name's sake. I did it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, that the heathen couldn't say nothing bad about the Most High, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness, into an isolated place, into a desert, into a wild place, where there was no men at, where they couldn't be influenced by other people. And I gave them my statutes, and I showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Now, when I was reading this, shall live in them, because you will hear this in the New Testament. And the church will use this, that, you know, if you got to keep the law, you got to keep all the law. But the law is what, keeping the law is what brings you life. You're living, he's talking about you having life in them, that you prospering in them by doing them. So living in them is a matter of doing them and having life as a result of it. Because to break them would give you death. So when he says he shall even live in them, it's again, it's an idiom. By doing them, you have life. By living in them, you have life. And not to do them, you have death. Yeah, I'm going to have to play a song because my keys are chirping, which means they're going to chirp until I do something. I'm going to play this song. I'll be right back.
It is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's weekly Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin it. And with his own finger, it was personally written, but still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians, like when Christ came the Sabbath day starts switching, but no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles, like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the many? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity's standards? Thought the devil definition of Christian was those that follow Christ, and the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow the rest. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness. I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture that's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from this Japheth nation. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. And Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should have served the Lord Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions. How you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says he's God and he changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should have served the Lord Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions. How you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for a deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested. Hallowed and blessed. My folks is professing. Follow Jesus directions.
All right, amen. Let's go ahead and pick this back up. 11. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 11. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. I gave them life. I gave them a choice, life or death, a curse or a blessing. But I brought them out from amongst the gods that they were serving in Egypt. I had to separate them from all that. I had to isolate them from all that. So I brought them into the wilderness of Sinai, where there was no civilization at, where there was no influence from men, no other gods that they could say that they worship and say that, oh, this God caused that to happen, that God caused this to happen, all these different Egyptian gods. So he isolated them so that he could be, what, their provider. And he said, so I'm giving them, I gave them my statutes and my judgment that they should live in them, that they should put away all these abominations that they were doing in worshiping the gods of Egypt, the different gods of Egypt. Verse 12, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath, my holy day, my weekly Sabbath, my annual Sabbath, my monthly Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yah that sanctifies them, that sets them apart. So when we keep the Sabbath and we keep the Most High's feast days, it sets us apart from the other nations. It sets us apart from the other peoples of the world, because they're making up their own gods. And they're worshiping the gods of their minds, the gods of their hands, the demonic entities. So I've given you my holidays, and I'm giving you my judgments and my statutes and my commandments to sanctify you. That is a sign between me and you that I'm your God. I'm your Elohim. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. So I took them out and I separated them. I segmented them from mankind and I took them out into this isolated place. And in this isolated place, I was trying to train them that they need to depend on me. That no other God is coming to your rescue. So if you think another God is going to give you water, let me let you get thirsty. Let me bring you into a place where there's no water at. And if you pray into something to bring you water, I'm going to let you pray so you can see that ain't nothing coming to your rescue. And then I'm going to provide you water so that you know who I am and that you depend upon me. That you don't have an abomination from someplace else. They walk not in my statutes. They despise my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbath they greatly polluted. See, this is where again, how do you pollute the Sabbath? By doing something on it that he has said you can't do on it. By not honoring his Sabbath the way that he says to honor it. All of his feast days. He gives commandments as to what should be done in them and what they're for. And so they polluted his Sabbath. They were going to the football game. They were going to the baseball game or to the basketball game. They were washing their cars. They were going to get groceries. Doing the things that they shouldn't do. I said washing their cars. Not back then. They were, you know, washing down their mule or their camel. But you get the gist of it. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. Because I told them what to do and what not to do, and they rebelled. And I got angry with them. But I wrought for my name's sake. I did it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen. You know, because his mind was to kill them all. All but Moses. And start over. But I didn't do it for my name's sake. So that the heathen, my name wouldn't be polluted amongst the heathen. You know, the God of the Hebrews, man, you know, he ain't fair. He got his people and took them out into the wilderness and then killed them all. So his reputation would be that he was not a fair Elohim. And in the end, the Most High wants all mankind to come to him. Verse 14 again. But I wrought it or did it for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land. I lifted up my hand against them, that I would not bring them into the land, which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despise my judgment. And walk not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols. So I brought you out from amongst the heathen. I brought you from amongst the Egyptians, and they're worshiping false gods. I brought you from among them and brought you into this isolated place. In this case, the place was like a desert, and I'm going to have to provide everything for you. Your water, your meat, your bread, I'm providing everything so that I become your God and you still rebel against me and you still kept hold of your idols. This is what they did, okay? So he's bringing this charge against them. He's saying, you guys acted this way and you want to come and inquire of me? See, there's a message in this for us today. Because if we're walking in our sin and we are doing wickedness, and then we want to come and pray to the Most High and inquire of him, what should I do? Look after me, keep me safe, provide for me. He says, and you've been doing all this wickedness and you have the nerve to come and inquire of me? Let's keep going. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destroying them. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk you not in the statutes of your fathers. Don't do what your fathers did. They worshiped the idols of Egypt. They've made up, you know, they worshiped the gods of the lands that I took them through, that they wandered through. They were disobedient. I told them that they could take the promised land. I sent them 12 into the land to spy out the land. 10 of them came back with a negative report saying, we can't take the land. 2 of them said, hey, we can take it. And the people below believed the negative report. After I have shown them all my miracles in Egypt and split the Red Sea and caused, you know, it to be dark and caused the dust to turn to life and brought frogs up out of the land and turned the water into blood. All these things that I did in Egypt to show them that I was in charge. I delivered them out of the most powerful nation on the earth at the time. Even these giants in these lands wasn't messing with Egypt. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And so they didn't believe the Most High. And they continued to disobey. But I said unto their children, verse 18 again, but I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk you not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgment. See, they made up their own statutes and they made up their own what? Judgment. The Most High says, hey, your son or daughter curse you, they're supposed to die. Oh, no, we ain't doing that. If a man get caught with a woman, sleeping with her, he ain't married to her, and she's not crying out rape, they both supposed to die. Oh, no, we're not doing that. They made up their own judgment. Nor defile yourselves with their idols. And they worship the idols of Egypt. I am Yah, your Elohim. Walk in my statutes, not your own, and keep my judgment and do them. Verse 20, and hallow my Sabbath. Keep my holy days hallowed, sacred, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yah, your Elohim. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. So the parents rebelled. Remember, he killed everybody that was 20 years old and older. They didn't get to see the promised land. They died in the wilderness. They walked around for 40 years until everybody that was 20 years old and older died out. So the ones that he brought into the land were the children of those people, what he considered to be children. He brought them into the promised land, and they rebelled. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbath. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. I wasn't going to bring them across the Jordan. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand. I was going to kill them, all of them. And I withdrew my hand. I pulled it back and wrought for my namesake and worked for my namesake. I did it for my namesake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. So the Most High didn't destroy Israel because he didn't want the heathen, the nations, to say he was an unfair Elohim. He was an unrighteous Elohim. The nations don't know that Israel is being disobedient. Only thing they would know is that, hey, Millions of them went into the desert, and none of them came out. We don't know where these people are at today. Oh, yeah, we found a big graveyard. A bunch of bones. That must have been the nation of Israel. Man, their God was, he just took them out there and just killed them. He said, I didn't want the heathen to say I was unjust. So I didn't want my name polluted. So I didn't kill them. Verse 23. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness that I should scatter them amongst the heathen and disperse them through the country, because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idol. Now, this is speaking of, at that time, current Israel and future Israel, that there's going to always be their state, always going after the idols and the gods of the nations. And when the Most High even put them in their own land, they continued to do this. First, I segmented you, I separated you, and I brought you into a wilderness, a wild, untamed, isolated place where there was only the only God there was me. So that you couldn't say another God did this, and you rebelled. Then I put you in your own land and ran these people out of the promised land and put you in the land, and you rebelled. And you did that all the way up until the time of Messiah. Let's keep reading. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not, let's see, verse 24. Because they had not executed my judgment, but had despised my statutes, had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idols. They're doing things they ought not do. They're still trying to worship the idols of their fathers. They don't keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High. They don't keep his Sabbath day. They pollute his Sabbath day. They pollute the sign that says that they belong to him. He says, therefore, I gave them also statutes that were not good. I'm going to have you doing some things. You're going to think that you're worshiping me, but I'm going to give you some statutes and some laws that ain't good. And it's going to cause you to do some things that's going to make me judge you negatively. Because it's in your heart to be negative. It's in your heart to be disobedient. So let me give you some laws that are going to make you be disobedient. They were not good, and my judgments whereby they should not live. All the statutes, laws, commandments were things that he gave them that they should live in, but when they would not live in them, then he started giving them things that they should not do. Hear this, because they were doing what the nations were doing. So, okay, let me come to you and tell you that I'm Molech, the God that I hate, the Elohim that you love to serve, but that I hate. And let me tell you to pass your children through the fire. All the things that you want to do in your heart, I'm going to tell you to do it. And you're going to think you're doing right, because the right things that I told you to do, you didn't want to do. So I gave them statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Unjust judgment. And I polluted them in their gifts, in that they caused to be passed through the fire all that opened the womb. He said he caused them to do this. You got a lot of people out here today worshiping the Most High in ways that he has not commanded us to worship him, and thinking that they are right, and you are never going to be able to convince them that they're wrong. Because he's causing them to worship him that way. Because that's what was in their heart. that I might make them desolate, that I might make them where there's not many of them, to the end that they might know that I am Yah. I gave them statutes that were not good. I gave them judgments that were not good. I polluted them in their gifts. Now, instead of singing and praising the Most High, they want to sing and praise, you know, the flesh. Everything is about sex. Everything is about us getting together, getting with each other. Rather than singing, you know, adoration to Him, making music to Him, we are caught up in this flesh. You go on the radio now and you hear, you know, especially amongst the black stations, I don't really listen to the other stations, but it's all about, you know, I had my friend's girlfriend. I had my friend's wife. You know, we in the club and we hooking up. We having these illegitimate children. You know, it's all not for our own good. It's to our demise. And we think that this is good. And I'm sure you that this is still going on today, but this is what they were doing back then. This is what they were doing back then, making this music that what was, you know, to the glory of their flesh. It's nothing new up under the sun. They may not have had all the bass, but the song and the message was all the same. Quote, unquote, about love, the love of a man for a woman or a woman for a man, lust, the lust of a man for a woman or a woman for a man, the lust after riches, the lust after glory. He said he put those things in them to pollute their gifts. Didn't even come and present to him that it would be acceptable because they were polluted. But you want to come and inquire of me. You want to ask me to do something for you, but you won't obey me. You want me to do something for you, but you want to be disobedient. So he intentionally gave them statutes and laws that were no good, and told them that it was by his commandment. And they were doing it, because that's what was in their heart to do. Verse 27. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith Yah Elohim, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me. Now he's going to give them another way that they have blasphemed him, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I have brought them into the land, for the which I lifted up my hand to give to them, then they saw every high hill and all thick trees, and they offered their sacrifice, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor, their sweet smells, and poured out their drink offering. In other words, if we go, I believe it's in... it might be in the beginning of Exodus, or it might be in the beginning of Joshua. He tells them when he's sending them into the promised land that they are not to do these are doing. They are putting up altars up on every high hill. They're putting up altars and statues and burning incense and making offerings in thick groves of trees to other deities. They're offering sacrifices to these other deities up on these high hills and in these thick groves. They were provoking the Most High. The Most High says, you shall not do unto me. You shall not, don't put me a church on every corner. Don't put me a church up on every high hill or in every green valley you come to. only in the place that I tell you that I'm going to put my name, or you to put up a church, or you to raise the tabernacle, or put up a temple. I will meet you there. But don't do like all these other nations are doing. On every high hill you go on, here is an altar to Molech. In every valley you go to, in every forest, here is an altar to Asherah. Don't do that. And all the other gods that they were worshiping. So they told them, don't do that. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? Why are you going up in that mountain? To do what? You trying to get closer to me? You can't get closer to me going up there. And I told you, don't put no altars up there. And the name thereof is called Bama, that means the high place, unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, are you polluted after the manner of your fathers? They were doing this crap. Now you're going to pick it back up after I've showed you and told you. I've given you some false statutes and some false laws. And I actually have told you to do this stuff, but I'm going to accuse you of it too. Because this is in your heart to do. And committed whoredom after their abominations. Something somewhere should have clicked in them that this is contrary to what we've been told. And so this must be another God talking to us. That something should have said something is wrong. But it didn't, because he was just letting them do what was in their heart and in telling them that he was saying to do it so that he could condemn them. For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day, and shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, as I live, saith Yah Elohim, I will not be inquired of by you. So you got all these churches, all these camps. If they are not worshiping the Most High in the way that the Most High said to worship him, then they are worshiping the God of their own mind. And he says, and you want to come and ask me? Satan knows fully well what he's done. But I think also the Most High has caused this to happen because this is in the minds of men to do this. To follow the ways of the nation. Even when he teaches us the truth, a lot of us don't want to grab onto it and hold on to it. We want to hold on to the old stuff. We want to hold on to the lies. We want to hold on to the false doctrine. Because they were part of our core. They were part of our moral compass. And we didn't want to admit, hey, we were wrong. And you want to come and inquire of me. You want to come and pray to me and ask me to look out for you on your behalf. And show up for you. I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that you say, we will be as the heathen. They wanted to be as the heathen. We will be as the church, as the families of the country, to serve wood and stone. Now, the country are the people. And he just says this a little bit different way. Okay, you want to be like them? I'm going to scatter you among them. And then I'm going to deal with you face to face, following them, when you're following after their way. when you're doing what they do, when you're walking in and polluting yourself the same way as your fathers did. That's why I say this message is really for Israel. As I live, saith Yah, verse 33, saith Yah Elohim, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. You are a stiff-necked, hard-headed people. I can't let you just do the right thing because you never do. So with an outstretched arm, my strength, and with fury and anger poured out, will I rule over you. That's why he says Messiah is going to have to rule with a rod of iron. Your nature. Now this is, you know, he's talking to Israel, but this is really the nature of all mankind. But this message is specifically to Israel this morning. Because Israel, you know, you don't hear the world saying that the Most High is going to come and gather them and take them into the wilderness as he judges the earth. He's going to take them into the wilderness of the people. We are in the wilderness of the people. And that's what you got to understand. When he scattered us into the country, into all the nations, he scattered us into the wilderness of the people and their doctrine and their God to see how we would fare, how we would do. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you were scattered, and with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. So when he comes to gather us, it's not going to be a nice day. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. He's dealing with us even now from that standpoint. And he causes his word to go out and for us to hear it. And we have to choose based upon, even if he allows us to, even if he allows us to hear it, to obey his statutes, his laws, his commandments that give us life. And not get caught up in these man-made doctrines and traditions of men and worshiping the gods of the nations, the gods of the people. So I'm going to scatter you amongst the people, and I'm going to allow you to drink from their doctrine, to eat from their words. I'm going to actually corrupt your gifts, and I'm going to actually have you to believe false doctrine. And all those who are truly seeking after me, they'll find me. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness, in the land of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yah Elohim. And I will cause you to pass up under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Only those that are holy, only those that pass his standard will pass up under the rod. Only those that he chooses will pass up under the rod and come into the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, those that still want to worship false doctrine, those that want to do their own thing, those who I'm not allowing to see, or they refuse to see the truth. I'm going to purge them from you. I'm going to purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. And I will bring them forth out of the country. You got people wanting to leave, want to leave here, but the Most High says he's going to take those that rebel and those that transgress against him. And I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yah. So he's saying the opposite of what men are saying. It's not the righteous that he's going to gather out of the nation and bring into the country. It's those that rebel and transgress against him. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel. They're going to think they're going into the land of Israel, but they're not. They are rebellious. They are transgressors. That's why I say this message is to Israel. Not realizing that we are already in the wilderness of the people. We are scattered amongst the nations. And we can't do what the nations are doing. The Most High has to open your eyes that you would come out of that. That you would keep his laws and his commandments and his judgments. That if you should do them, you shall live in them. Or else you can believe the statutes that he gave that were not good. Like people believing that if they confess their sin, he is true and just to forgive them because they don't have all of the scriptures to understand what he's actually saying. That he will forgive all their sins forever. They're not up under the law. They believe this in the wilderness of the people. And some of them, he's causing them to believe it. Because all those things don't give you life. Anything that tells you to transgress against the Most High, you got to know that it's not of him. Why are you going to say, disobey me? I am Elohim and I change not. Why is he going to tell you to start doing something that he told you not to do? Oh, yeah, start passing your children through the fire. That should have been a signal to them. Wait a minute. Our Elohim told us don't pass our children through the fire. Now we got our holy men telling us to pass our children through the fire, saying that it is the Most High. And he caused that lying spirit to come down and tell them. So we are in the wilderness of the people today. We're not waiting to be taken into the wilderness of the people. We are already amongst them. And this wilderness of the people is this wildness of the people. Unlawful, unholy, unrighteous. Everything that the Most High says that we should be, they are not. And feel good about it. That's the wilderness of the people. Scattered in every nation. So he says he's going to gather the rebellious out of the lands wherein they sojourn at. He didn't say the righteous. He said those that rebel. Those that transgress against him. I'm going to gather them out of the nations that they sojourn among. Shall not enter into the land of Israel. And when he does this, then he's going to say, then you're going to know that I, Yah, have done this. Because you're going to be thinking that's where they're going. But they're not. And I just want to thank the Most High for showing me this morning. Because I know too many of our brothers and sisters trying to get up out of here have already gotten up out of here. The Messiah said that he would gather us. When it's time, he's going to gather us firstly. Come. But I'm going to cause some of y'all, you know what? You rebels first. We even read in the scriptures that the angels aren't coming to take the righteous out of the world. They're coming to take the wicked out of the world. The Most High is going to start with his own people. Let me get rid of those that are rebellious and transgress against me, my own people, my priesthood that I chose, that I didn't utterly destroy because I didn't want the nation saying that I was an evil God. I didn't want my name polluted. So I scattered them into the wilderness of the people. And let me see who's going to love me enough, seek after me enough, that they are going to my laws, my commandments, that they are going to accept Messiah. Verse 39. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith Yah, Elohim, go you, serve you everyone his idols. Go. Serve everyone you your idols. And hereafter also, if you will not hearken, if you will not listen unto me, but pollute my holy name no more. That's why I told you that the Most High even told us that we're not even supposed to tell the nation who we are. Because when they look at our people as a whole and how we've been acting, you know, having all these children out of wedlock, being just unrighteous and unlawful people, saying that we love him and we belong to him, but we're on the street corners cutting people out and doing all this crazy stuff. Hey, don't tell them that you're my people. Don't pollute my holy name any longer. Go serve your idol. And don't pollute my holy name. No more with your gifts and with your idols. Because we took on the ways of the people, the nations, the countries that he scattered us into. And even when he brought us the truth, we want to bring some of that with us. Some of what we learned from them. Just can't let go of it. It just can't be that I was totally wrong. And why would God cause me to believe a lie? Because it was in your heart to believe the lie. It was in your heart to follow after false gods. It was in your heart to do witchcraft and voodoo and all these other things that our people have gotten into. Seek after spirit. Verse 40. For in my holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith Yah Elohim, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offering, and your first fruits of your oblation, with all your holy things. I will accept you with a sweet savor. This is the end game. For all that overcome, we're going to serve him in Israel, at his holy mountain. But all those rebels, all those who are transgressors, all those that believe that they can just keep sinning and kind of following the law, going to gather them first. So we will see a mass exodus. And they're going to believe that they're being gathered into Israel. He says, but no, they're not going to enter into Israel. But his holy ones, his faithful ones, all those that belong to him, we will. 41, and I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the country. The country is the wilderness of the people. He's going to gather us out of there. But first, he's going to gather the rebels. He's going to cause them to come. And the transgressors, he's going to cause them to come. And they're going to think they're going into Israel. But they're not. Wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And you shall know that I am Yah, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up my hand to give it to your father. So remember your ways and all your doing, wherein you have been defiled, and you shall loathe yourself, you shall hate yourself in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am Yah when I have done with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, not according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith Yah Elohim. So, the wilderness of the people, Yah is first going to gather the rebellious ones. Just like when he returns, angels are going to gather the wicked out of the earth, not the righteous. The angels are going to gather up all those that are wicked and bind them up and kill them when it's time for that judgment. The Most High is going to do the same thing with his, starting with his priesthood. I'm going to cause the rebellious and the transgressors to come. And they're going to think they're coming into Israel, think they're going home. But he's not going to allow them to enter into the land of Israel. He's going to deal with them right there. That means that they're not going to live through that experience. Then he shall gather his people. And because we'll get to see ourselves for what we, you know, we're keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments, we're still as a filthy rag. Still as a filthy rag before him. But we were worshiping him in truth. And we're gonna loathe the way that we, you know, the evil things we've done. But we're gonna be forgiven. There's a difference there. We have been forgiven. We've been accepted. And he gathers us into the land. So the wilderness of the people is the nations that he has scattered us into to see whether we're going to eat every wind of doctrine, whether we're going to go against the statutes, his laws, and his commandments, whether when we hear the truth, is it in our heart to obey, or is it in our heart to do what we feel is right, even though we know that what we're feeling is contrary to what he is saying. We're to believe a lot. Then he's going to cause us to believe a lot. I pray we can hear this and understand. Let us bow our heads. Father, we come before you on this morning, Father, thanking you for your word, thanking you for giving us understanding that we should understand that we are already in the wilderness of the people. And Father, we know that you are going to gather us, but we know that you're first going to gather those that are rebellious and those that are transgressors against your law. They just don't get it. And they can even say that they're keeping your laws, but they're really not keeping them. They're keeping them in word only. And they have been convinced to believe a lie, some of them even by you, Father. Let your perfect will be done. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. All right. On this evening, again, I don't know what the lesson will be. I think that I got to go back a couple of lessons. I think there's a theme that we're supposed to be in, so I need to make sure that I stay within that theme and, you know, pull out something for us within that theme as the Most High puts it on my heart. Make sure you don't get caught up in the wilderness of the people. Make sure you don't get caught up in every wind of doctrine that you be eating and thinking that this world is going to take care of you, is going to provide for you, that the doctrines that they teach in liberty and all those things, that you are not up under the law, that you don't have to keep the Sabbath, you know, Messiah died for all your sins forever, even your willful ones. That you don't be believing these doctrines that you can bring every sin to the Most High because he said you couldn't. He gave us one time to come to him and bring our willful and our ignorant sin to him. After that, we are accountable. We're supposed to know the difference. We're supposed to have the knowledge of the truth. So as the Feast of Trumpets comes up and, you know, the Day of Atonement and Tabernacles, that we enter into these feast days, into these Sabbaths with understanding. We don't want to practice in during the year and then think we can just throw it all up under the Day of Atonement and it's all forgiven. The Most High has never worked that way, never operated that way. That is a statute and a commandment that was given by somebody that was just false. And they said it came from the Most High. And he may have caused them to believe it. But the truth of the matter is, it's contrary to his word. It's contrary to how he set the system up. Can't tell you on this hand and say this gives you life, that you don't sin. And if you do sin, if it's ignorant sin, then you can bring a sacrifice and that can be atoned for. But if it was willful sin, it couldn't be atoned for. Your iniquity shall be on you. And then on the other hand, say, hey, no matter what you do, I'll forgive you for it. All you got to do is confess you did wrong and I'll forgive you. That's a complete flip. And it's just a lie. He gave us that opportunity up under grace one time. After that, we are accountable for our actions. So we got to understand that we cannot get caught up in these doctrines in the wilderness. Can't do as our forefathers did and keep kind of hold on to the idols that our forefather worshipped. The idols of their mind, the doctrines that they made up in their mind, their traditions. Can't get caught up in that. But we have to follow the word of the Most High. We have to do those things that he said give us life. And walk in them. And only change where he changes them. Only modify where he modifies them. So may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. I can just tell you what thus saith Yah Elohim. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Sabbath, enjoy the rest of your day, family. In the Sabbath, keep his Sabbath and keep it holy. Don't pollute it. Shalom, family.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe. And everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do, if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there. Teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do, if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do, if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect.
All right, Shalom.